welcome into the Lineup Logic Podcast, the daily fantasy podcast bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate to come on FanDuel. I am Sean Kane. I am your host, and we are talking MLB here. In the next hour, we'll cover the matchups tonight on the main slate. We'll talk spreads. We'll talk weather, and there is a lot of weather to be worried about, unfortunately, tonight. Not a pretty night on the East Coast for baseball. Plenty of rain moving up that Eastern Seaboard. And there's a lot of games in East Coast ballparks tonight that could suffer a little bit of that rain. So we'll talk about it. We'll talk pitching. We'll talk Vegas. And before we do that, we'll talk about all the different matchups that we've got tonight. I'm not going to go back tonight, guys, and recap Friday's lineup. I was out of town for the weekend. Hope you guys had a great one. And I want to jump straight into this slate because there's a lot to talk about. And I think there's a lot of really interesting spots on this slate where we can get a little bit of leverage. But there's a lot of things to be concerned about, too. So let's go ahead and jump into tonight. All right. So, like I said, East Coast is in a rough spot tonight. And we have, I'm looking at it. Yeah, it looks like four games that are up on the Eastern Seaboard here that are going to be getting a lot of rain projections, a lot of rain projected. And that starts with Minnesota at Baltimore, 9.5 runs projected here, 25% chance of rain starting at first pitch. And then it putters out a little bit. It gets a little bit better. It's not the worst rain situation that we have on the board, which is nice. But it certainly looks like it could be a little bit wet there in Camden Yards. But Kyle Gibson going up against Ubaldo Jimenez. Vegas says this one's going to be a shootout here. 9.5 runs projected. I like both offenses, and I will talk about them. It should be a really interesting game. Hopefully it plays. Rockies at Phillies. 8 runs projected here. But again, about a 20 to 30% chance of rain. But similar to Baltimore, interestingly enough, the rain starts to wane in the later hours. So who knows what we'll see out of this game. These two games, they're very similar rain situations, as I think the same weather system's going to be moving across. I think it's probably a question of how dry can they keep the fields in the hours leading up there in the afternoon. How much rain do they get? You know, if it's totally saturated and they just can't get rid of the rain, then they may have a problem. But, you know, they know they're expecting it out there in these two parks. So this one's interesting, though. Rockies, Phillies, 8 runs projected here. Jeff Hoffman going up against Jared Eichhoff. And Vegas right now favors the Phillies. Eichhoff just had that gem of an outing. Went out and got 8 Ks. I don't know how much I'm buying it. I think that there are just too many bats in this Rockies lineup that can just go yard real quick. And Citizens Bank is a great, we know, home run hitters park. So I don't have too much interest in Eichhoff here in this spot. Yes, he had the absolutely excellent start against Texas. You know, Texas is a high strikeout team, but he's also had some blow-up outings. Dodgers got to him. The Seattle got to him. The Cubbies got to him. And Colorado, to me, is a day you're playing with fire, you know. And we learned that lesson just last week when we pitched Irvin Santana against Colorado. So, you know, they by the numbers, it seems like a good one for Eichhoff, but I'm not so sure it is. Royals, Yankees, this one's going to get dumped on, 50% chance of rain starting at first pitch. You know, similar to the other ones, the rain will start to let up, but unfortunately the rain's not going to let up in the Bronx until about 11 p.m. here. 8 runs projected, Jason Vargas going up against Michael Pineda. Pineda, heavy favorite here, obviously one of the better pitchers on the slate against a struggling Royals offense, so you definitely have interest in Pineda. And unfortunately, Vargas in his last outing got shelled by the Yanks. So we'll see. I'd be interested to see if Vargas can bounce back and say, you know, he learned something from the batter profile there and, you know, kind of gets back to where he was. But he did get hit and get hit hard by the Yankees last time out there. But other than that, the man has been excellent this year. I'd be very interested to see how he responds in this start, if it goes, you know. One of the worst weather situations on the slate in this one. Well, actually, no, I take that back. Not the worst, but definitely probably number two. Cleveland at Cincinnati. This is a nice game, actually. Great weather here. 9 runs projected in a Great American Ballpark. And Josh Tomlin going up against Scott Feldman. Vegas has the Indians favored here just by a touch, but it's only by a hair, and that says a lot about Tomlin's recent start against the Rays and some of his numbers that may be telling us that he's due for a little bit of regression from that early season, you know, with those massive Ks that he was getting. You know, I don't necessarily want to touch him in this hitter's ballpark. You know, I think that you could definitely see some of these Reds batters get to him, and the Reds have been hitting the baseball. They have some great, great bats in that lineup. So not a ton of interest in Tomlin for me. Feldman, likewise, I'm just not going to start a pitcher against the Indians who, you know, still one of the best offenses in baseball, even if they're hot and cold sometimes. Angels Rays, 8 runs projected here. Don't have to worry about weather because we're going to be in the trop. JC Ramirez going up against Jake Odorizzi. Only 8 runs projected in this one, but it's almost a pick 'em. In fact, Vegas has moved the line just a touch in favor of the Rays, but there's been some line movement on this one, and you know, just about half of the money is coming in on the Angels, and that's probably because of their recent hot streak, where the bats really seem to be waking up for LA, and that Mets series, they started to really put up some runs. So certainly an interesting spot to target. I like these spots when people can't quite make up their mind who the clear favorite is, and I don't think you can necessarily. JC Ramirez has a bad history against lefties, and the Rays are the number 3 or 4 offense right now in WRC plus against right-handed pitching. So just ask Josh Tomlin how he feels about the Rays lefties. Pittsburgh at Atlanta. This one is ugly. This is the biggest rainout possibility. Almost over a 50% chance of rain from 7 until 10 p.m. All the way up until midnight. It gets even worse. So this could be bad. I'm not far from Atlanta, and it's mucky. It's been raining. It rained last night. It's raining now. It's going to keep raining, and I have a feeling we may even get a postponement before this game goes, which is a real bummer because you got Garrett Cole on the hill for the Pirates against the Braves that, you know, without Freddie Freeman, just not a very threatening lineup, and Cole has faced much better teams this year. In fact, he's pitched a real murderer's row. I'll talk Cole in just a little bit. I like him quite a bit in this spot. San Francisco going up against the Cubs. This one's got some rain in it, and the problem with this one is the rain gets worse, not better. It starts out light in 6-7 o'clock, and then it jumps up to a 40-50% chance of rain in that 8-9 o'clock hour, which is no good, right? You know, you get 4 or 5 innings into the game, and then all of a sudden it's going to get dumped on. Ty Blatch going up against John Lackey. Obviously, Lackey, the heavy favorite. Ty Blatch has not been able to get anybody out this year. 10 runs projected here with a wind blowing straight out at 16 miles per hour. Very interesting spot for the Cubbies bats in this one. Obviously, we'll have to talk about it. 8.5 runs projected in Houston. Dome's going to be closed in Minute Maid, so we don't have to worry about weather down there. Michael Fulmer going up against Brad Peacock. And Peacock is favored, you know, and name value alone here, you would say a reliever and a spot start up against a guy like Michael Fulmer, who's been excellent this year. What the heck? Well, it's probably the love that Vegas is showing and respect Vegas is showing for the Astros against righties here, as they should. One of the best offenses in baseball. And Michael Fulmer has been, I think, very, very solid. I don't know if the word is great, but you know, I think he's been really, really good. You know, it's just a question of whether or not part of the reason the Astros are favored, by the way, is because Detroit is one of the worst bullpens in America. And so all of a sudden, you know, you get through Fulmer, 6 innings of Fulmer, and they're going to hit him a little bit, bang him around a little bit, you know, for sure. But Fulmer's not going to go 8 innings and give him a gem and strike out everybody in the Astros lineup. and then, you know, just let the bullpen work minimally. It's just the bullpen in Detroit is a real liability for them. So I think that might be part of it. Peacock is interesting. I think people will be attracted to him just because his numbers as a reliever are phenomenal. Massive K rate. But he also has a massive walk rate. I'll be interested to see what Detroit can do. They're a hard-hitting team against righties. And that, to me, is enough to stay away from Peacock. I mean, there's just too many guys, individual hitters in that lineup. They haven't really all been able to assemble it in too many games this year, but there's too many individual hitters in that lineup that frighten me against right-handed bats. And that I love stacking Detroit. I may even go back to them here in this spot. Last game of the night, White Sox, Arizona, 9 runs projected here in Chase. Greinke, a heavy favorite up against Miguel Gonzalez, and that makes a lot of sense. Greinke has been excellent, but the Arizona offense equally good against Miguel Gonzalez, who is very unimpressive by the numbers. So we will obviously talk about the Diamondbacks. I think that they will be one of the best offenses to own on the evening. Obviously, Chase Field. As for Greinke, yeah, I mean, he's been great. He's been absolutely great. There are some hesitations in my mind about how much Greinke I want, but the problem being, you know, if I have Gerrit Cole with a 60% chance of rain, who's probably my favorite pitcher, versus Zach Greinke, who has zero chance of rain against one of the, you know, the White Sox, it's going to be a Greinke chalk spot. You know, people are going to love Greinke. There's not a lot of really great pitchers on this slate. You get the weather problems and all the other games where you like your pitchers, people are just going to go to Greinke. And it makes sense. It makes sense, especially on FanDuel, where we get rewarded for the win. We get rewarded for the quality start, and the K upside is always there. So I don't think we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. I got to talk about Greinke. All right. So like I said, there are 9 games on this main slate, which is a really nice size, not too much to break down. You can make some really interesting decisions, try and get some leverage, but 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games with rain out threats of those 9. So yikes. I think if you're ranking them from worst to best, the worst rain out threat is in Atlanta, followed by Chicago. Those are the 2 worst rainout threats. And then the Yankees are probably in 3rd place. Actually, they may be the 2nd worst rainout threat versus the Cubs game. The Yankees game is 3rd. And then there's probably a good chance that in Baltimore and Philadelphia, they may be able to figure out how to play maybe a delay and then just some light rain afterwards. We'll see, though. You know, keep your eyes. Hopefully, one of these games just gets called early and we just get, you know, the ability to just kind of, you know, manually say, okay, time to fade. You know, we don't have to worry about it because it's not going to be played. So we will see. All right. That's it, guys. That's what we're working with. 9 games. So let's jump into the player breakdown and figure out who we love. Who do you love? All right, so obviously at the top of the slate here, the chalkiest pitcher, the best pitcher, the best, you know, I call him lock, stock, chalk, right? There's a reason people are going to like him, and I like him a lot. It's Zach Greinke. He's going up against the White Sox. It seems like a dream matchup here, honestly. He's one of the going up against, bottom 10 in WRC plus against right-handed pitching. He has a K rate of 28%, a walk rate of 4.8, xFIP of 3.9, Sierra of 3.8. Those are all elite numbers. It all lines up. Chicago, they're better against lefties than they are against righties. Very true. Here's my issue. They're trending in the right direction against right-handers. We're seeing some power regression for this team, and we saw it in the Seattle series, and we saw it in the LA series. Those are both pitcher's parks. Safeco and LA, pitcher's parks, they put up some runs. I mean, in the last 2 days, they scored 24 runs against right-handed starters. Now, obviously, they got to those bullpens early and often because they blew them up early. They blew up 2 of those starters. And you know, the Seattle rotation is not really that great right now, and the Seattle bullpen is pretty bad as well. They're just banged up from top to bottom on that team. But they also hit Shoemaker and Ramirez in LA. Now, they didn't turn it into a ton of runs, but they hit the hell out of them. You know, over five hits in both of those games, earned runs in both of those games. There's a feeling to me that if they get that this park upgrade with Greinke, they're not going to blow him up completely. We're not talking like three innings, 10 runs or anything like that. You know, nothing crazy. But this offense is hot, and they have some serious power. And a lot of these guys have seen Greinke because, remember, he was in Kansas City, and there was a, you know, a matchup. If you've been on the White Sox in the last 5 years, you know, Melky, for example, Todd Frazier, if to a degree, there's a possibility that they could get a hold of him here. You know, I have no problem with him. I don't think there's any reason to go with him. But if we had the option, I would probably go with Cole or Pineda. But I just don't know if I'm going to have the option because of the weather. You know, weather, you can't start a pitcher who's going to get postponed. You're not going to get any value out of that. I don't know if this is going to be a 60 burger for Greinke. But he's going to be owned at over 40%. I mean, there's just no way he's owned at anything less in cash. It's going to be over 50%. It's just no question. Combination of people know you start righties against the White Sox. He's been excellent this year. He's the highest priced pitcher on only a 9-game slate. There's not a lot of the options, the weather problems. It's going to be way over 50% in cash. It's going to be over 40% or 30% in tournaments, no question. It's going to be chalky. And I think, you know, for me, that's part of the reason why I'd want to pivot off of him. you know, I think that there is upside in Pineda and Cole, and I'll talk about them. The downside of it is just the weather. Garrett Cole has pitched, he just pitched against one of the most dangerous offenses in baseball in the Nationals. He got into the seventh. He did not allow a lot of earned runs. He got his Ks. He has been an excellent game manager. I just love the way this guy works. 22% K rate, 5% walk rate, 16% K to batted balls. He only has a 250 BABIP, which is very nice. XFIP of 3.8, SERA of 3.6. You line some of those numbers up with Greinke's, and they're really very, very comparable. You know, XFIP, SERA, BABIP, all that stuff. The thing that he lacks is the K upside. And obviously, you know, that's really important on a site like FanDuel. The Braves lineup against right-handed pitching, not nearly as scary without Freddie Freeman. They did just acquire Matt Adams from the Cardinals. And, you know, I was reading about it. They're going to put Adams right in there right away. Whether it's outfield, first base, whatever it is, they're going to put him in right away because they have, you know, some right-handers that they're going to go out there at this in this homestand. So Braves manager was talking about it. Adams is going to get minutes. It's not basketball. Adams has got to get PAs. You know, he's a great value bat going forward. This isn't necessarily my favorite spot for him, but I guarantee I'm going to be targeting some Brave stacks and some Matt Adams upcoming here just because of the cost effectiveness of stacking them. The rest of the lineup, though, it really doesn't scare me. I mean, Markakis, meh. He's been very, very, very lackluster. There's no protection for him in that lineup. You know, I mean, Matt Kemp is we obviously a great career hitter, but he's better against lefties than he is against righties. So, you know, I think if I could play Cole, I would absolutely be playing Cole. I think that 4 runs projected for the Braves is a little bit generous, but I guess that they're just kind of, you know, maybe they're giving a little bit of love to the fact that they've got some extra lefties in there, and they're just kind of trying to, you know, say that they don't like Cole as much as the rest of us do, which I love Cole. So I'm okay with that. Here's a couple extra things that put a feather in my cap. He has gotten to the 7th inning in 4 of his last 5 starts. Listen to where these last 5 starts, who they were against. Against Arizona, in Arizona. Against Washington, at home. Against Milwaukee, against Cincinnati, and against the Cubs. Now, that is a murderer's row of just home run upside. Now, obviously, we know Milwaukee's cooled off a little bit. Cincinnati can be hot and they can be cold. The Cubs aren't really up to where they should be right now as far as the numbers go. But, I mean, to stare down those lineups and get through 7 innings in almost every single one of them without getting lit up, and the numbers are excellent. He's only given up 2 home runs in those 5 games. 50% ground ball rate recently, 35% fly ball rate, only 31% hard contact. The guy is just managing games extremely well. He's pitching to his strengths. He's got a lot of control. I love Gerrit Cole in this spot, and I think he will come into much lower ownership than Greinke. Michael Pineda, he's getting Kansas City. Now, he didn't get the K's last time out in Kansas City, and we were all over him, but I think we look again. Hopefully, he gets a little bit of depressed ownership. People will say, oh, I played Pineda last time. He only had 30 points. Well, yeah, he owns one of the highest K rates on the slate, though, okay? His K batted ball ratio is also the highest on the slate. It's better than Greinke's. Yes, he gives up fly balls, and yes, he gave up those homers in Kansas City. Sal Perez got to him. He's the man who would have gotten to him. Whit Merrifield is not going to hit another home run off Pineda, guys. Okay, it's just not going to happen. But Sal Perez, yeah. Sal Perez is a dangerous fucking home run hitter. He is. He really is. You got to be careful about him. And he left one up, and Pat Perez knocked it out with 21 mile-per-hour winds blowing out to left. I mean, you tell a right-hander against a lefty like Pineda, who every once in a while will leave a ball hanging there, you know, like Perez. I mean, it's just a match made in heaven. Wind's blowing out to left. Perez got a hold of one of the balls that he missed a spot on. Sailed. So what's going to happen? I mean, it's not, you know, this isn't rocket science here. But he has been stellar in the Bronx this year. His numbers are excellent at Yankee Stadium, which is great. You want to see that because Yankee Stadium is a better hitter's park. But 31% K rate at home and 41% K rate at home against left-handed bats. Yes, it's a reduced sample. I know that. But that number is staggering. It pops off the page. And if you're seeing a guy who just is more comfortable in his home park, I think that you don't necessarily discount that. On the whole, pitchers are better at home. And I like Pineda in this spot quite a bit to get back after Kansas City and, you know, and really drill him. I think he can. I think he has it. I think he has those Ks, and we just didn't see him last time. So not necessarily concerned. Pineda might be one of my favorites for K upside, but of course, 50% chance of rain. It's just no good. I mean, after that, I'm not interested. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think that there's anyone else on this slate that I necessarily feel comfortable starting, okay? I think people will look at Eichhoff because of a recent really solid start. Not touching that. Colorado hit 5 home runs yesterday off of Bronson Arroyo. They blew up Irvin Santana. They're clearly figuring out how to hit right-handed pitching. You know, they're healthy. Between Blackman, you got to get through Blackman, Arenado, Cargo. You know, Cargo's waking up. He dingered yesterday. I just don't necessarily trust it. I don't trust it. I think Eichhoff is good, but he's just too inconsistent for me. I mean, you know, we loved him against Texas, and then all of a sudden, you look back at some of the other starts, you know, you get blown up by Seattle, you get blown up by LA. I just don't necessarily see Eichhoff repeating what he did last time. I don't know. I could be completely wrong, but that's a stay away for me. I'm not that interested. I think people will chase JC Ramirez for the K upside against the Rays, but be careful what you wish for, man. I'd be careful what you wish for because that team smashes left right-handed pitching. They are actually, let me see this again. Let me just be specific here. Let's give you the splits on the Rays versus right-handed pitching. They are currently a 36% hard contact rate. That is fifth in the league, 17% home run to fly ball ratio, 20% line drive rate. Again, this is all top 5 in the league. And let's check that WRC plus real quick. Rays against right-handers, 117 WRC plus. They are better than Arizona and just below New York, Houston, and LA. Everybody looks at the Rays and says, ooh, that 26% K rate. Yeah, well, you know what? You're flirting with disaster because they also have a 194 ISO and a 326 BABIP, which is one of the best in the game. And actually just behind them is Arizona. So let's not waste any time. Let's talk about these sticks. All right, if you want to stack some studs, some expensive bats here, I think you have to look at the Cubs, but the Cubs will be the probably more chalky option. I don't know. It could be Arizona. I'm not sure, but I think the Cubs always garner higher ownership just because they're a major market team versus the West Coast teams. It always surprises me how under-owned Arizona goes. But the Cubbies against Ty Blatch, this is an easy spot to recognize. The wind is blowing out. People love that about Wrigley Field. Blatch is a recognizably bad name. The numbers are brutal on him. Dude can't strike out a soul. I mean, he's 7% K rate, 6% walk rate, a 5.2 xFIP. It's all there. It's really bad stuff. It adds up to Cubs righties here. Zobrist, Happ, Bryant, Russell, Contreras, they're all in play, all six of them. Those are the ones that you want. Obviously, you can get Rizzo in there as well. He never, you know, you never sleep on Rizzo in this spot. But those are the righties that I really want, and those will probably be the righties that are in the 1-6 spots. So any combination of those guys. Zobrist, of course, always interesting because against a guy who can't strike anyone out, Zobrist is going to get on base. And Contreras is actually a Statcast darling. He's absolutely launching the ball. Massive exit velocity numbers. So I love Contreras in this spot as well. You know, they're going to be very solid against Blatch. I have no problem with them. Here's the issue is the elevated ownership, plus they actually have a low hard contact rate. You add to that the weather possibility to delay. I don't think they're my favorite offense. There's only a 27% hard contact rate against lefties. They have a greater ground ball to fly ball ratio. You know, I think what I would rather do is fade the Cubs, take the pitcher of my choice, and stack Arizona because they're going up against Miguel Gonzalez, and they're a much better offense by the numbers against right-handed pitching. We just talked about them in comparison with the Rays. They are top five in the league, a 113 WRC+, ISO of 199, 23% K rate, but you know what? A 341 BABIP. They are smashing right now. They really are. Gonzalez gives up a ton of fly balls, 5.5 xFIP, only a 13% K rate. And they are hitting the ball with a 37% hard contact rate against right-handed pitching. They're at home. They're in Chase. Best weather on the slate, no question. Best park on the slate, no question. Yes, Gonzalez limits some hard contact, but I just don't see that the Diamondbacks really getting to hit, or excuse, not getting to him. He is not good enough that he can get around this lineup. It's a murderer's row. So it starts with me for, you know, the lefties, Peralta and Lamb. Jake Lamb waking up recently, smashing the ball, going yard multiple times this weekend in San Diego. And Goldie, he's top 20 in almost every single StatCast column about batted ball data. Barrels, exit velocity, launch angle, all of that shit. The man is a freaking beast. He is probably one of the most underrated bats. I mean, I guess I don't know. I think he's underrated just because I don't think he's in the market necessarily that dictates it. But he is destroying baseballs. 62% hard contact rate for Goldie in the last 15 days. The 40% fly ball rate. Are you kidding me? 62% hard contact? That's insane. You add value, Blanco. Blanco's been getting the leadoff spot for Pollock. He's been playing well. He's only 2-2. It's a spendy stack, you know, with Blanco and Goldie and Lamb. But God, I love that idea. Blanco, Goldie, Lamb. You know what? And if you get one of those pitchers like a Michael Pineda in there, I think that's the core of a lot of what I want to do tonight. I don't think I'll be alone. 9-game slate. People know Pineda has the Ks. Arizona has the offense. It's not crazy. It's not necessarily... But I think that if you're trying to leverage the crowd, people love wind blowing out at Wrigley. I think that that Chase Field is just as good of a spot to spend your money on bats. In fact, a better one by the numbers historically. Now, if you're looking to spend down a little bit of a plus situation for some guys who are a little bit less expensive, some stacks, I love this Twins O's game. Now, the O's are going to be super popular. They're projected for 5 runs. It's the highest projected run total on the slate besides the Cubs. And, you know, they're playing well. Kyle Gibson is just getting smashed. 35% hard contact, 40% fly ball rate, allowing batters to pull 54% of the time. That's a massive red flag. If batters can pull the ball on you that frequently, that's an indication that he just doesn't have anything overwhelming at the plate, and they are getting around on that ball. He's got an xFIP of 5.5, a K rate of 12%, walk rate of 10. Yikes. He's not getting anybody out. It's crazy. If you look at some of the matchup BVP, actually, in StatCast and Baseball Savant, Hyunsin Kim, Machado, Adam Jones, and even J.J. Hardy in their BVP against Kyle Gibson have an average exit velocity that's all above 95%. J.J. Hardy has an average exit velocity of you against you of over 95%. You have a problem. Obviously, it's not a huge sample size, but this is an indication that he is going to get hit hard. Now, don't sleep on Seth Smith and Chris Davis. I'm not stacking Hyunsin Kim and J.J. Hardy at the 8 and the 9 spots. Let's be very clear. However, 1 through 4, Seth Smith, Adam Jones, Machado, Davis, give me all that. Gibson gets smashed by left-handed bats, elevated hard contact, elevated fly ball rate. Now, I think that O's will definitely garner plenty of ownership. No question. The Twins will probably go overlooked, but the other side, it's just as good. They're getting Ubaldo Jimenez. He's got really rough batted ball data too. 36% hard contact in the last 15 days, a fly ball rate above 30%, xFIP of 5.2. I mean, that's not that much worse than Kyle Gibson. Yes, it's a little bit better, but it's not that much better. A K to walk ratio that's very similar to Ty Black's, who's one of the worst on the slate. So I would love to play the Twin stack, hopefully get them, you know, lower owned on the road. They're going to get those guaranteed at bats. Give me Dozier, Sano, Kepler, and Kenneth Vargas. I love it. I mean, Vargas and Kepler are both like 3K. And Brian Dozier is one of the better leadoff bats in the league. I love him in this. And actually, Sano is one of my favorite bats on the slate, leading the league with a 98 mile per hour exit velocity average. That's multiple points better than even like the Stantons and the Judges of the world. Sano is like a batted ball savant. And actually, I was listening to the baseball, the StatCast, MLB StatCast podcast. Great listen. If you haven't listened, listen to it, guys. The advanced data stuff is just too fucking fun. You have to listen. It's so awesome. Sano is just like a batted ball savant. Dude is a monster. 101 miles per hour on his fly ball and line drives, which is easily the best in Major League Baseball. That's crazy. Means he hits the ball harder than Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton, and Manny Machado. I mean, everybody, all these guys who rank extremely high in StatCast, you know, classifications of barrels and all that kind of stuff. Sano is actually, and remember, we heard we heard Casey Bogeslaw talk about this in the interview. If you haven't listened to the interview with Casey Bogeslaw about barrels, the guy who runs MLB Barrel Alert, RO baseball editor, Casey talks about how wildly impressed he is with Sano's numbers this year, and as we should be. Sano is a beast. So I love Sano in this spot. I think him and Dozier usually go lower owned than some of the other bigger names. So a twin stack is definitely in play for me. In fact, the full game stack is in play if this thing goes. I love this. I love this game stack. All right. If you're pivoting, I think that there's a couple really good spots, and there's some spots that I didn't talk about, but there's some games that I still like. I think one of my favorite games is, LA at Tampa Bay. It's basically a pick 'em, and Vegas is like, line is moving and money's coming in on both sides of this one. It's almost 50-50. The Angels are hot. They just came out of, you know, New York where they put up a lot of runs. The Rays offense is hot. You know, the historic home run numbers in Cleveland. I like both of these teams to go slightly under-owned. It just because I think people can't make up their mind on who they like as far as pitchers. Because Ramirez and Odorizzi kind of have mixed bag ownership, right? Or excuse me, mixed bag numbers. Like some good stuff, some bad stuff. You don't quite know. They're like league average in a lot of things. You don't quite know. I think people will go to J.C. Ramirez just because they know the possibility of K upside in this lineup. You know, the Rays strike out quite a bit. He's given up 37% hard contact recently to opponents. And Odorizzi, he's got one of the highest batted ball distances on the slate. Guess who has the highest batted ball distance on the slate? Zach Greinke. I'm not surprised you didn't know that. Actually, I'm not surprised you didn't know that. But average batted ball distance is highest on the slate. And Odorizzi is right behind him, actually. The guys get Ks. They don't walk people. They have very good control numbers as far as, you know, walk rate and K rate is about 20% and 5%. Very similar in that respect. The problem is Ramirez is real trouble with lefties. He's giving up more home runs to them. He's getting fewer Ks. He has real problems with lefties. And what do the Rays have in spades? They got lefties. Odorizzi, he's actually getting up the opposite. He has problems with righties. And Mike Trout, I think he's right-handed, guys. I think Mike Trout is right-handed. Just hit his 14th home run. He's starting to heat up. Kind of a big deal. I think this game goes overlooked. I think people kind of can't make up their mind about it. And I think a little bit of ownership every once in a while in a GPP, a stack one of these teams, it's very affordable. It's very reasonable, especially with the way the Angels are stacking up these days. I think you're probably going to get Cam Maybin, Cole Calhoun, Mike Trout, and Valbuena. I love that. I think that's a really nice little situation there. Balbuena's too cheap, and that's cheap power upside right there. And then on the Rays side, you know, Corey Dickerson is not cheap, but Kevin Kiermaier's back up there. He's under 3K. Logan Morrison is 3.8, not cheap. And Colby Rasmus is at 3.1. You know, he's been excellent, especially at home recently. He's been very good. So all these Rays guys are always in play in my mind. So. And I, you know what? I have no problem with both catchers. Kid Maldonado and Norris both have flashed a little bit of power upside in these various different spots. You're not going to have to deal with weather. I think maybe I give a little bit of a nod to the Angels stack over the Rays stack. And the only reason that that is because the Rays bullpen is worse than the Angels bullpen. That's it. They're like eighth worst in baseball, and they've been known to give up some home runs and just give up some games. Ask Chris Archer. You can pitch a gem, and then all of a sudden the bullpen just ruins it. So that's interesting to me. That's interesting to me. The Angels are much more disciplined at the plate as far as not taking strikeouts. So I think the Angels stack maybe gets a little bit of a nod, even though, you know, I love my Rays. The other games I think that could go overlooked are Detroit-Houston and Cleveland-Cincinnati and even Colorado-Philly. I like all of these games, to be honest with you, all those games as well. The only game that I'm kind of hesitant about is this Cubs-Giants game. People will be interested in John Lackey. I know that to be a fact. I'm not going there. I'm not really doing John Lackey with the wind blowing out. I just don't. You know what? Like, give me Pineda. Give me Cole. John Lackey, I don't know how much I trust him right now. So anyway, that's a different story. But let's talk about this Detroit-Houston game, because I think it's very interesting to me that Houston is favored against Michael Fulmer, who, you know, like, by the numbers is a better pitcher, by like the track record, the fact that he's an actual starter is a better pitcher than Peacock. Peacock is just a reliever. It's very interesting to me that Vegas has done this. And I think it's a spot to target for sure, because both of these teams hit righties very well. And I think that this is similar in the sense that the A's-Rays game, I think it'll just go kind of overlooked. Like, I don't really know how to make my mind up about this. The Tigers are one of the hardest hitting teams against right-handed pitching in the league. Peacock obviously has a great K rate. Not obviously, people don't know that, I'm sorry, but he has a great K rate this year. It's like 31%. Problem is he only pitches, you know, in relief, and he's added up all of those innings, but, you know, relievers have outlierishly high K rates at times. So it's not quite the same league average for relievers as it is for starters. Can you sustain that over six innings for Peacock? I'm not really sure if he can, to be completely honest with you. And it's interesting, his K to walk ratio of his K rate is 30% and his walk rate is 15%. That kind of tells you something. I mean, you know, let's say that those numbers get depressed down to like starter average. You're talking about a guy who's 20-10. That's not that great. Which to me is a way that maybe we exploit the Tigers. I think people could be interested in that spot. And then on the opposite side, The Astros are very interesting to me because I think in name people will look at Fulmer and be like, oh, no, no, no. I'm not playing him against, you know, this high-priced pitcher. But the Astros are the best offense in baseball against right-handers, and Fulmer's numbers are good. They're not great. They're not absolutely mind-blowingly good. I mean, the guy gives up, let's see what is, we got bad ball data here. 30% fly ball rate, 27% hard contact, that's good, 47%, that's very, you know, very average, I think, but solid, you know, that's kind of what Fulmer is, average, but solid, solidly average here. K rate of 21%, walk rate of 6%, I mean, yeah, it's all average. BABIP of 260, it's good. XFIP of 3.7, that's very good, you know, and Fulmer has been great. I just don't necessarily think that there's not a pitcher in this league that the Astros can't get to be completely honest with you. And that to me alone is a way to say, you know, let's look at the Astros maybe in a low owned spot here. Similarly, I think you're going to also have ownership leverage in those other games that I mentioned. I think there's ownership leverage in the Cleveland-Cincinnati game. Feldman has been good, and I actually think that maybe the red stack is a little bit sneaky against Tomlin, who, even though Tomlin had some excellent, excellent starts recently, we still look at the, you know, he's only got an 18% K rate. He has, you know, he has an XFIP of 3.3, which is great. BABIP of 364. That stands out to me. A left on base percentage of 55. You know, I just think that, you know, no, he doesn't give up walks. No, he doesn't get Ks. He's a ground ball guy. He's going to try to work deep into this game. but we saw what the Rays did to him. And 36% hard contact, you're looking at the, it's just interesting to me. I think it's an overlooked spot in Cincinnati as well as on the Cleveland side. It's a slightly overlooked spot. Feldman has been fine, but not mind-blowingly good. And last spot, I love the Rockies if this game goes. I love the Rockies, and I love the Phillies too. I love that game. That game goes because I don't think that Eichhoff is going to be able to repeat the same high-quality start. And this is not that much of a park downgrade for the Rockies. I think that they have shown that they can hit the ball out of the yard. Although it's not great weather. Yesterday in Cincinnati was much warmer. It's not a very nice day in Philadelphia. It's only 65 degrees. So in that respect, maybe, I don't know. And Jeff Hoffman gives up a lot of home runs. So the, Philly stack is definitely interesting and in play. So those are I just think this is a great slate. It's a very interesting slate. I think you got to try to figure out where you are going to zig when other people zags. And then last thing I want to say, and I know I've mentioned almost every team, and I'm not going to, you know, talk about stacking every single team, but the White Sox, this could be one of the lowest owned spots on the slate. If people are stacking Greinke, and listen, I'm not going to say that there's a 100% chance that the White Sox go off against Greinke, but I'm not going to lie to you when I say that there is a chance that the White Sox hit Greinke in Chase Field and, you know, really start to put up some runs and start to move the base paths. I mean, there's just something about that offense right now. This is one of the best parks that they've played in recent memory. One of the best parks that they've played in, period. They're trending up against right-handed pitching. There's too much power in this lineup. There's too much power in 1-5 for you to feel like it's really, really, really going to be a great outing. Leroy Garcia, Melky Cabrera, Jose Abreu, Avisal Garcia, and Todd Frazier. There's power 1-6. There really is. And I think you have to think about the White Sox here if you really want to get cute. Now, obviously, I know it's risky, but it's a GPP, GPP. All right. Let's head over to FanDuel and let's see if we can throw together a quick lineup. All right. So I think, you know, one of the things that we have to look into is ways that, you know, we can get exposure to these high totals and these high powered offenses. And then I think once you get a core that you like to work around, build with, you know, then you can really like pivot. And that's kind of what I like to start with, the obvious spots. And then, you know, I'll build one lineup with the real obvious stuff together where I really, you know, try to tinker and find teams that I want exposure to. And then I'll make my pivot lineups, you know, where I'll move different pieces and parts out of there, and I'll pivot and I'll change to other lower owned spots to try and increase leverage in some of those other lineups. But I think this is a great starting point for what we have today. And it's Michael Pineda, and then it's a Chicago stack and a Arizona stack. And the Arizona stack is what I started with. I committed to that right off the bat, and I got all the bats that I wanted, 1 through 4, Blanco, Peralta, Lamb, Goldie. Got them all. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to change it. Pineda at the helm. I love the K upside there, and I got my Arizona stack. And then I had second base, shortstop, and outfield, and I had to try to find a team that aligned as far as price that would also have the top of the order exposure that I wanted. And I think the Cubbies, actually, interestingly enough, the righties line up pretty nicely. You get Ian Happ, Addison Russell, and Ben Zobrist, the most expensive of whom is Happ. And then you're just left with a punting catcher at $2,200. Now, I really would have liked if I could get Chris Iannetta from the Diamondbacks, but that means I'm going to have to move one of my Diamondbacks pieces out there because I can only have 4 pieces of the stack. So, you know, maybe I could see myself moving off of Jake Lamb and going to Chris Bryant and then getting Chris Iannetta, or maybe even better, get off of David Peralta. You know, I don't even know how that's better, to be honest with you. I would rather just wait for a random punt catcher and throw him out there, whoever's starting in that $2,200 range. It's just hard to find a catchers that are that cheap these days. So this is an interesting one. Pineda, Goldie, Ian Happ, Jake Lamb, Addison Russell, Gregor Blanco, David Peralta, and Ben Zobrist. Now I tried a number of other different spots, you know, different combinations of guys, where, you know, I think, you know, the only other real way that I might do this is if I got off of, a guy, you know, if I got off of Goldschmidt, for example, if I got off of Goldschmidt, I gave myself a little bit of salary relief there, and then I got off the Cubs. So I still have my, you know, basic 1, 2, 3 of the Diamondbacks there. And then I moved into a 4-man stack of the the Astros, because, you know, one of the things that I gravitate towards is just my finding shortstop. I think sometimes paying up for shortstop often is a real good way to leverage the field. So, you know, it would be obviously Correa and Altuve right there. And then down to my man Josh Reddick at 3,200. And then, you know, we have first base to punt. Which is always a decent spot to punt. And actually, I heard an analyst talking about how, you know, punting first base is not the end of the world because you always have guys who have power in that spot. And look who's 2,800 right there. Marwin Gonzalez, one of my favorite power cheapies. And I got 2,800 at catcher, which actually leaves me a nice, nice range of guys to pick from. Jason Castro, you know, Cam Rupp is an interesting spot there. Absolutely, Cam Rupp is a good one. Derek Norris, of course, in there as well. So some catchers with power upside. So Michael Pineda with the Houston stack and Arizona as well. And I think Houston gets a little bit lower ownership. You can also easily take out the Houston stack and, you know, you can go to the Minnesota stack for more leverage. You got Brian Dozier, Kenneth Vargas, you know, you don't love the shortstop situation in Minnesota, to be honest with you, but Escobar, I don't know if he's in the, or excuse me, Polanco. Yeah, actually, what am I talking about? Polanco should be in the middle of the lineup right there. I actually don't mind that at all. And then you're left with, Max Kepler, who hopefully is up in the lineup a little bit, or Grossman, not really sure. They've been kind of in and out, but Kepler has definitely been playing well. So hopefully it's Kepler in there against the righty and Ubaldo, and then you're left with 3,700 at catcher, which, okay, maybe I want to do that. Maybe I want to do 3,700 at catcher, or maybe I actually, let me see if I can get Greinke in here, and I can get Greinke in a punt catcher at 2,100 if there's a $2,100 catcher. You get Greinke in there. So Twins mixed with Arizona. And actually, I love that I have the Arizona bats mixed with Greinke there. And in a twin stack that's got a power upside in Vargas, Dozier, Polanco. You know, and if I wanted to maybe flip-flop I could probably end up flip-flopping. Well, I'd have to spend down it off of Dozier. I could flip-flop Goldie and Lamb and get Sano in there. But I don't know. Well, let's see what that looks like. I don't know that I can do that. If I get Goldie in there, yeah, I don't think I can afford Sano. Yeah, you can't afford Sano. But if you get down off of Granke, interestingly enough, let's see. If I get down off of Granke and I go back to Pineda, yep, then I can afford Goldie and Sano. So that's an interesting spot as well. Goldschmidt, Gregor Blanco, David Peralta, and then Dozier, Sano, Polanco, Kepler as a four-man twin stack. So with Pineda at the helm. So, you know, all I'm going to say is I hope Pineda, I hope this Kansas City-New York game goes. I know it's not looking good because there's a lot of options. You can get your favorite offense and then, a little bit of leverage. I showed you guys a lot of different ways that you can stack this up, and I don't even think I touched the iceberg with lineup construction. I mean, this is the tip of the iceberg as far as Arizona and Minnesota goes and Arizona and Houston goes. And, you know, it's just the Arizona and Chicago goes. I mean, it's just too sexy. There's so many spots here. Should be a really fun day for lineup construction. Guys, good luck in your contest. Figure out where you want to put your money. And hey, if you haven't already, get in there to the Slack channel. Get into the Patreon page, patreon.com/lineuplogic. $10 a month, you get access to the Slack channel, you get access to the cheat sheet. We're always in there talking takes, guys, or even on the weekends talking about what they want to do with their lineups. It's always a nice time. Great community of people. And premium coverage for $10 a month. You know, come on, that's good stuff, man. That's really good stuff. Good luck in your contest tonight. Hey, review, follow, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, and we will see you tomorrow.